All right, good evening. Much better. Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church for the midweek service. If you can, let's stand. We're going to sing Our Best.
Perry's favorite song. Is that still his favorite song, Mrs. Perry? Oh, it's yours. I thought it was his. Sorry about that. I didn't have the right family, just had the wrong one. So anyone else, is that your favorite song, Brother Yala? I knew that there's a couple of folks that was their favorite song, so when we were singing it, I was thinking, I know that's at least one of the Perry's favorite songs. I didn't realize it was yours. So again, there's some good songs in the old songbook. Lord, love you. Thank you for tonight. Bless now the time we have together. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us tonight and give us something to take home. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right. Another good song, Our Great Savior.
What a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior, hallelujah. Saving, helping, keeping.
Did not receive one of the prayer lists tonight. AI, can you come help me? Stephen, won't you come and help on this side? If you'll hold your hand up, the young folks that just came in, Mrs. Taylor, and then straight back to some folks. And Stephen, you got a couple on your side. I figured it'd be easier. I've been doing this for a couple of folks because they'd asked me if I could make them a prayer list so that they could pray for it. You say, Brother Block, why isn't it typed? Because I type like this. So, if you want it typed, I'll be glad to give it to you. You can type it for me, then I will print it off and give it out typed. But I don't have a secretary. It's just me, myself, and I. And neither me, myself, or I, all none of us can type. So, And Charlie said there's a lot of stuff up there. Now, some of the stuff we stored up there 20 years ago, so I have no idea what it was, and some of you don't either. But if you do have, if you know you have some stuff up there that you'd like to have brought down, Stephen is, I've been told Stephen's coming in Friday to pull some stuff down. So if you, and again, I'll probably try to take some, I can go up there and take some pictures with my phone, bring it down, show you, and see if it's yours. But if you think you have some stuff up there, whether it's decorations or classroom stuff, and you need to have that brought down and saved, let us know. Otherwise, the rest of the stuff's going to go in the dumpster, and then they're going to try to do some repairs and some stuff up there. So trying to clear that out so they can do some work up there. Don't forget, normal stuff going on this week, which means tomorrow night, 6:45 for soul winning. Friday night youth activity, 6 to 7:30. Saturday is bus visitation at 9:30, soul winning at 10:45. Then back in your place for Sunday school and church at 9:45, and then church at 10:50. Sorry, I always take my, since I'm on the prayer chain, that it's not going out over there. I always take my pistol off and put it under the pulpit. Don't forget, Sunday school and church, 9:45, church at 10:50. And then the one event we have coming up. Now, we're having Brother Ross in February. I'll start announcing that as well. I think Charlie told me the date, and I think it's the 12th, but I'll get back with him on that. But we do have Brother Owens coming in November. We're switching to 17th. That is a Thursday night. We're going to have, instead of Wednesday night being our midweek prayer meeting, we'll have Brother Dr. Jeff Owens. Now, he was a Howard Anderson graduate. He's he's been pastoring for years. Now he's in North Carolina, not too far from, I think it's called New Hope, if I remember right, but not too far from where my son lives. But he's out in North Carolina. He's been a pastor for several years. He is the one, if you notice, if you remember, I've been teaching on character off and on for the last several years. That was his books that I read years ago. He has some books. Alan Kirk has a lot of other books as well. But he will be with us on the 17th. That is a Thursday night. And then that Friday and Saturday, we'll be over at Texas Baptist. Now, that's on the other side of town. We'll be using their facilities. We're running the youth conference, but it'll be at their facilities on the 18th and 19th. 18th starts at 7. That's a Friday night. And then Saturday starts at 10 and gets through about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But we'll have two preaching services and a meal and then some game time out in the gymnasium and then call it a day and head back home. But if you'll pray for those, and again, everybody's welcome to come to that stuff as well.
Again, let's all stand. We're going to sing the wedding song. The fight is on.
The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing out the cry to arms. Is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. Onward gleaming, and colors streaming, the right is wrong and gains today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The Lord is leading on to certain victory. The bow of promise fans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honor be. The Lord will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier. Face to face in stern array. Honor gleaming, color streaming, right and wrong and gauge today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to give to your cause, Lord. I pray you bless this offering and exceed the needs of our church. I pray that you be with those that are out sick and those that have had procedures done, Brother Hauser and Mrs. Hauser's procedure coming up. I pray that you bless this time now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Yeah.
see. Now I belong to Jesus.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation. Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
grab your Bibles, you can go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. We'll start there. I had my Monday night, I did my lesson, finished my lesson on the finances that I started last week. Had that all done, and then I was reading and studying something else last night. Decided after reading it, it seemed like the Lord laid this one on my heart, so I'll just save the other one. You can hear it later. We're going to speak on this tonight. Notice Acts chapter 10, verse 24 makes this statement. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Kinsmen and near friends. Romans chapter 16 in your Bibles. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Notice we'll look at two verses in Romans chapter 16. Verse 7. Salute to Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Verse 21, same chapter, Romans 16, 21, makes this statement. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. So notice he had kinsmen in each of those verses, near friends in Acts chapter 10. Kurt and I were talking the other day. We were just talking about how sometimes when tragedy happens or an emergency happens, sometimes you can tell who your friends are by who you can call and who will show up. Now, there are a lot of people, and I've been youth director through the years. I've learned this. Those who say, Brother Block, I'll help you if you need me. What that means is, I really hope you don't need me. I don't want to help you. But if it's desperate, because we used to always get, if we have like scavenger hunts, I would need like 5 drivers or 10 drivers. So I'd say, if you can drive for the youth activity Friday night, let me know. And usually, if we needed 10, I would already have 3 or 4 that would come and say something to me. So Wednesday night, I'd stand up, because Friday night's youth activity, and I would say, I still need some more drivers. And I'd have some folks come to me after church and say, if you really need me, if you really have to have me, just let me know. And so Kurt and I was laughing, because what that really means is, I don't want to, but if I have to, I will. And so, but again, if you've ever been in a position where you've needed a friend, it is nice to know that you have somebody that no matter what time of night it is, no matter what the situation is, you can call them and they will show up. And again, years ago, and the only one that knows who I'm talking about would be the wife, the lady that's in here. Years ago, someone said to me, they had sent me a text and they said, I appreciate your friendship. You're my best friend. And I thought, I didn't look at them in the same way. I mean, I'm friendly with them as I am with all of you, but some folks in here I'm closer than the others. But I went to the wife later and I said, how am I their best friend? I said, they don't have any other friends, because we weren't real close. We talked some. And the wife then said this, he is not very friendly. Folks have tried to be his friend, but he refused to be friends with him. We'll talk about that in a moment. By the way, if you want to have friends, you do have to understand you have to be friendly. The Bible talks about that. We'll look at that in a moment. But tonight I want to give you a lesson on friendship. Lessons on friendships. Now, Paul had some friends. Now, Paul had some folks that, again, some of them went to jail with him. Some of them got beat alongside of him. Some of them, went through some terrible times with him. And again, I'm not talking about just one or two people. I mean, Paul had several folks that he could call his friends. Now, most people, if they're lucky, they have one or two good friends. Now, I'm very lucky. I have several good friends. Now, you say, Brother Block, you got any rich friends? I don't have a lot of rich friends. That's because I don't know a lot of rich people. But I do know folks that if I really needed something, they would do all they could to take care of that. And by the way, that actually is far better than a rich friend. Because you are very rich if you have that kind of friend. But again, I do know something about friendships. And so we'll look at some things tonight. Now, first, an introduction. I want to just flip over to Acts chapter 4. I want you to see something in Acts chapter 4. You'll find that people can tell who you've been hanging out with. Now, when I say people can tell who you've been hanging out with, it shows up in your language. It shows up in your character. It shows up in your attitude. Notice in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, what it said here. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, and here's what they said. They have been with Jesus. So they could tell this is not who they are. They're like this because they've been with Jesus. So if you're wondering whether hanging out with certain people will affect you, and by the way, in a good or a bad way, the answer to that is definitely yes. Flip over to Acts. You're in Acts chapter 4. Go to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17. Now, in this story, Notice in verse 4 it says, and some of them, Acts 17:4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So Paul and Silas were the ones doing the preaching and the teaching here. Notice verse 5. But the Jews which believed not. So there were some that believed and there were some that believed not. Notice what they did. They were moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company. It means they got a crowd together and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, who did we just read about a moment ago that had done the preaching and had stirred the crowd up? Paul and Silas. But listen to me. Paul and Silas were not in their hometown. Paul and Silas did not have a house. Why did they go to Jason's house? You know why they went to Jason's house? Because they had seen Jason hanging out with Paul. They knew that Jason and Paul were friends. So they thought, we'll find Paul and Silas at Jason's house. So again, they were known for who their friends were. Verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. So again, you could tell that Jason was associated with Paul and Silas. Again, I said, you need to be associated with the right crowd. And by the way, the crowd you hang out with will be the crowd you're known to hang out with. There's been some great friendships in the Bible. We all know about the Jonathan David friendship. The truth is the world tries to make that into an ungodly one. We know about the Elijah and Elisha friendship. We know about the Moses and Joshua friendship and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego friendship. So my question tonight is this. Have you got any friends? Have you got any good friends? By the way, do you hang out with the right kind of friends? We're going to address all those things tonight. Let's pray and then we'll get into the message. Lord, I need your help and I ask you for your help and blessing. I ask you, Lord, that you might help me to get across the thoughts that you've given me. Lord, they might be a help to somebody and maybe a detriment of wrong friendships and encouragement to the right kind. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anything good that comes from it, that you take the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to see is the description of real friends. Description of real friends. Most of this is in Proverbs, so you can flip over to Proverbs 17. We'll be there for most of the points. There'll be a time or two we go elsewhere, but Proverbs chapter 17, notice verse 17. The description of real friends. Now, notice the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, notice it says a friend loves at all times. If you have a real good friend, they will love you no matter what. Now listen to me, it doesn't say they will agree with you all the time. It doesn't say that they will back you all the time. It doesn't say that they'll condone what you do all the time. It doesn't say they'll go along with you all the time. It doesn't mean that they'll stand idly by while you do dumb stuff or get yourself in trouble. What it says is they will love you. Now, I can tell you this as a parent, and most of you are parents as well, no matter what your child does, no matter what your son or daughter does, you'll still love them. Now, you won't always approve of them. You and I don't always be excited about some of the decisions that they make. But when it all comes down to it, you'll still love them. I told this to some parents years ago. They'd kind of went separate ways from their children, and I said, don't want to do that. I said, they know your position. They know what you like and what you don't like. They know what your standards are. There's no doubt about your standards. There's no doubt about liberty standards. But you know what? They're your child. You need to love them anyway. By the way, I can say this to kids. By the way, kids, you need to make sure you love your parents anyway. All of us are sometimes hard to love. But again, the description of a good friend, they'll love you all the time. A second description of a good friend, notice Proverbs 27, verse 6. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Because they love you, sometimes you know what they'll do? They will wound you. Notice what it says, verse 6, Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. All of us have seen shows on TV where someone they knew that they was going to have to answer to someone and they wanted to, it looked like they didn't go along with this person. So they said, you either have to hit me, you're going to have to beat me up a little bit, or you're going to have to shoot me somewhere. But they didn't want to be shot to die. They just want to be shot somewhere so they could say, he shot me. And so, by the way, a friend would shoot you where it wouldn't kill you. A friend will punch you and probably pull his punch a little bit. Now, if your friend punches you with all of his might, I would question his friendship, okay? But the truth is, there are times that a friend has to hurt you. There are some times that you and your friend might bump heads. And by the way, those wounds are far better than wounds from someone who's not your friend. I can tell you, someone who doesn't care about you, they'll smack you. We had an activity. It used to be one that we'd go out. They had to go. How many of you remember when we had Mercado Mall? The mall was right down here where HEB is at. There used to be a mall there. And we would go when, for youth activities. One of the things we do, we'd go into the Mercado Mall, and the kids had to, on one of the activities, they had to propose to a mannequin. So they had to go in and kneel on their knee, and they had to ask the boys to ask, I had to find a girl mannequin. The girls had to find a boy mannequin. And also one of the things that they had to do on that same activity was they had to get someone to slap them in the face. Now, there are some folks that they didn't really want to slap the kids. So, I mean, it would be like, and they'd come back and they'd say, I asked them to slap me, but trust me, they hardly trust me. And I had a couple came back and said, I told them to slap me. Man, they almost knocked me down. I mean, but so there are some folks that enjoyed the slap more than others. But again, a friend may have to wound you. But those wounds were not meant to hurt you in a big way. They're meant to warn you away from something or to try to keep you from getting in more danger. The truth is, if your child is walking across the street, you'll grab them and yank their arm. And they may say, ow, you hurt me. Oh, yeah, they did. Kept you from getting killed, okay? I mean, that car was far bigger than you. If you think that car wasn't going to hurt you more than that, you're pretty wrong there, all right? You are sadly mistaken. So again, the wounds of a friend are faithful. Notice the third thing, Proverbs 27. Notice verse 9. Good friends give good counsel. Notice verse 9, 27, 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Again, they'll tell you the truth. They won't always tell you what you want to hear. They will tell you what you need to hear. My wife was always, very honest. After almost every sermon, I would go home and I'd say, how was my sermon tonight? Sometimes she would say, it was good. Sometimes she would say, I really liked it. Sometimes she would say, it was boring. Or you said the same thing. I mean, you just stayed on that one point way too long. You just said, so my wife was brutally honest. So sometimes after Mrs. Block passed, guess who I would call? I would call one of my friends, Brother Taylor. And by the way, sometimes he is brutally honest as well, okay? But again, understand, the counsel from your friends, that's good counsel. They're not going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. Again, that is a good thing about having the right kind of friend. Another thing that a good friend does, notice Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Brother Nicholas has quoted this and told you that he uses this when it comes to his relationships with people. Proverbs 27, 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, what it means when it says sharpen the countenance, it means the spirit, the demeanor, the behavior, the conduct. It can also mean the expression of a feeling toward another person. But again, it means it affects you. Now, Brother Nichols said that he tries to hang out with folks that will make him a better Christian. Choose your friends. I mean, you don't want to hang out with someone that makes you that'll make you a worse Christian. That's for sure. I don't hang out with any friends. Now, we're talking about this next weekend is time change. You may look at it as time change weekend. Brother Bajot and I look at it as a different type of weekend. You know what it is for Brother Bajot and I? The opening of deer season, okay? So we look at it as a complete different way than you do, okay? It's the opening weekend of deer season. Now, understand, when it comes to your friends, now, I can go out, I can go spend some time. If for instance, when we used to go deep sea fishing, sometimes we'd have the whole boat to ourselves. I like that because we didn't have to worry about the other crowd, anyone else on the boat. So when we could get enough people to go deep sea fishing that we could charter the whole boat, we liked that because we didn't have to put up any cussing. I mean, other than Brother Taylor's, but we didn't have to put up any cussing. We didn't have to put up any, no, I'm just joking. Did you even fish? I did, but the truth is, we didn't have to put up with cussing or drinking or any of that stuff because it was church folks. Now, there was times we went on the boat, we took a crowd on the boat, took people on the boat, and there was other people on there. Now, listen to me, I might have talked with them, I might have visited with them, I might have been nice to them. I didn't become friends with any of them because, by the way, they weren't heading the same direction I am. We had nothing in common. I'm heading one way, they're heading the other way. We're not going to be able to walk together because we don't agree. Again, you want to have some friends that will sharpen your countenance, some folks that will make you better, some folks that will, again, when you think of iron rubbing on iron, today we have whetstones, but back then they had to find a rock or something. That was how they sharpened blades. They had to find something harder than the blade that they were sharpening. And they rubbed it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and that helped sharpen it. Again, it sharpens our countenance. Again, we want to make sure we have the right kinds of friends. Good friendships are a good thing. Let me give you number two, how to destroy a friendship. Now, some people are very good at this. This is one thing you don't want to be good at. There's lots of things you want to brag about. I'm good at this. This is not one of them. You shouldn't be good at destroying friendships. Notice Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. One of the easiest ways to destroy a friendship is this. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You be one that is always going around whispering, always one that's slanderous, always one that... Now listen to me, there are people, and you'll have to understand this, some of you don't get this, you don't understand this. So there are some people that like to stir up a fight, they like to stir up trouble. They go to this person and say, did you hear what they said about you? And they tell them. And then when this person blows up and says stuff, they go over to this person and say, phew, you should have heard what... They're having a good time watching the two of you be stupid. Now again, if you're a good friend, you're not going to be talking about your friend. By the way, if you have something to say to your friend, say it to your friend. You say, well, they may not like it. No, but if they're your friend, they'll get past that. Miss Reese and I had a policy in the school. If there was something going on with my children that she needed to bring to me, she would bring it to me. I didn't always like that. But see, and by the way, she had told me I could do the same thing with her, so we had that relationship. Sometimes I was mad at her. Mary, you ever get mad at me? Yes, she did. Sometimes she got mad at me. But listen to me. She's still one of my best friends, and she's one of my wise counselors, and she's one of the folks that if I ever need anything prayed about, she's one of the first people I go to. But she didn't always tell me what I wanted to hear. She told me what I needed to hear. Now listen to me. You don't want to lose good friends. If you get a good friend, you want to hang on to them, so don't be slandering them. Notice Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. 17:9 says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Again, keep bringing stuff up. He said, you know what? Someone who really wants to be your friend, they'll actually cover stuff up. I mean, they'll try not to make a big deal about it. They'll try not to show their hurt. But a person that again, wants to break up a friendship, they can by bringing up past problems. Notice chapter 19, verse 4. And this is one that you think would be weird, but the truth is, the Bible says it, so I had to put it in the notes. If you're poor, you can destroy your friendships. Notice Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4 says, wealth maketh many friends. Now, let me say this before I go on. Sometimes not the right kind of friends. There are a lot of people that if someone won the lottery or someone got a lot of money, all of a sudden people that hadn't had anything to do with them all of a sudden wants to be their friend. Now, listen to me. Those are the kind of friends that they are there while you have the money, and when you lose the money or you run out of money, they're going to disappear. But again, it mentions wealth maketh many friends, but notice it says next, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Now, what it means is if you're always taking, it's always a matter of me, I need, and you're not doing something. Now, you say, but Block, I don't have any money. You don't have to have money to be able to give. You can give up your time. You can lend an ear. You can lend a hand. I mean, there's things you can do that you can. There's lots of times in the past, there's people that did stuff for me. I didn't have any money. I had a sick wife and four children. I was working a second job, and I always tell people back then, I was just dog paddling to keep my head above water. I didn't know what Whataburger was. It was the expensive restaurant. Now, all of them are expensive, but I didn't know what a number five was. The first time someone took me to Whataburger and got me a number five, I thought, oh, man, this is where rich people eat. I mean, this is the good stuff. We ate off the dollar menu at McDonald's. I mean, my kids get two things at Taco Bell or two things at McDonald's off the dollar menu. And at Taco Bell, it was a 69-cent menu back then. Now those same tacos and burritos are probably $1.69. But, again, I didn't have any money, but I could do stuff for folks. So that's why, most of you know this, I don't even like tomatoes. I don't even eat tomatoes. Now, this year, they didn't do much. And last year, after my wife's death, I didn't do much. But most years, I'll bring a clothes basket full of tomatoes at every service and put them on the front row and pass them out. Say, why'd you plant those tomatoes? For you. I don't even like tomatoes. Say, Brother Block, have you tried them? Now, I understand there's a lot of things I didn't like as a kid that I like now. I tried them the other day, and I still don't get any real kick out of them. I don't dislike them as much as I thought I'd dislike them. But now there's some things that I didn't used to eat that I actually like. I didn't used to like broccoli. I like broccoli. I didn't used to like mashed potatoes. I like mashed potatoes now. I mean, but the truth is, I got spankings for some stuff when I was a kid that I eat now, and I'm thinking, why did I take a whooping for that? But I was convinced as a kid, I don't like that. It tastes bad. I mean, and my mom and dad had a rule. You either eat it or you get a spanking. They set a timer on that stupid, they go over to the stove and set that timer. And then I'd get a spanking. Then they'd give me less time. It might be 2 minutes the first time. Then it's a minute and a half. And then it's a minute. And then it's 30 seconds. You say, did you really get spanked that much? Yes, I did. For a spoonful of peas or a spoonful of carrots? I said, Brother Bart, maybe that's why you wear glasses. Maybe. But the truth is... again, being poor sometimes can, I mean, now notice what it said. It said that being poor, notice verse, we read verse 4, I believe. Notice verse 7. All the brethren, this is in the same chapter, 19, verse 7. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. So what he's implying is, if every time you approach someone, it's like, oh no, run, he needs something now. I mean, that's why people have the tendency to run. The missionary the other day, some of you went to the missions conference, he said someone came up to him and said, give me the missionary handshake. And the guy, and the missionary said, what? He said, the missionary handshake is, what he was implying is, I just want you to give. Now listen to me, the reason missionaries do come to churches is they're trying to raise support. They do need us to give so they can go on the mission field. Now I can tell you this, I'd rather give them $50 and put them on the mission field, let them win souls to the Lord, than go myself sometimes. They go to some places. Now, and again, I'm a country boy. There's not very many places I wouldn't mind going. But I can tell you that they're making sacrifices most of us are not making. So when he said, when that person said, give me the missionary handshake, he said he resented that. He said, we do ask for stuff, and we are on the field. But he said, I can show you the stuff that we're accomplishing. And he showed us in his slides the stuff that they were accomplishing. And listen to me, some missionaries treat it like it's a vacation. That's why sometimes when we're using Bible college, there's a guy that's going on the mission field to Hawaii. And I had a hard time feeling too sorry for him. He was going to Hawaii on the mission field, okay? I'd like to go to Hawaii just to go to Hawaii, but he was going to go and suffer on the mission field. But most places are not like Hawaii, okay? Not at all. But again, if you're poor. Now, in Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the prodigal son. When he had money, he had friends. When he had no money, he had no friends. Now, it mentioned, you say, how do you know he didn't have any friends? Because when the famine rose and he began to be in want, if the famine rose and he had any friends, they'd have taken him in. He'd had a place to stay and food to eat, but he didn't. He didn't have the bare essentials. He went out and ate and probably slept with the pigs, which, by the way, for a Jew was about as low as you could get. So again, if you're always asking, always trying to get stuff and you're never giving, be a person who gives. You may not have stuff to give all the time, but I can guarantee you have stuff to give sometimes. When there's something going on, try to get involved. Number four, a way to destroy friendship is give insincere praise. Proverbs 27, notice verse 14. Proverbs 27:14 says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. What it means is he's drawing a bunch of attention. Now listen, you know why he's doing it with a loud voice? To get attention. I've walked into a room before and said, hey, attention, attention. Everybody stopped, looked at me. I said, thank you, I just love attention. I mean, and that's what this person with a loud voice, what they was doing was, I mean, he was praising this person, but again, it was insincere. Notice in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1, another way to lose a friend is to borrow from a friend. Proverbs 6:1 says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, what he's saying is, be careful about that. Now, I can tell you, if you have the right kind of friend, and if you're the right kind of friend, you can actually borrow from a friend and pay that friend back. I have always been one that likes to give to people. And there was times that Mrs. Block, she was almost always on board. But there was someone that we had in the church a while back that, I didn't realize it until I just mentioned it to Brother Pichon, and I found out he'd been helping him, and then he mentioned it. And I found out that that person had went to several people in the church, and we were probably almost supporting him and his family. By the way, shame on him. He was capable and able to work. He just wasn't. And finally, my wife said, you have loaned him money. You've given him money several times. He's always promised to pay back. Stop doing that. And I mean, my wife and I, actually, again, I can probably count on one hand the number of fights I had with my wife in 41 years of marriage. But that was one time that her and I almost got into it because I said, I'm working the second job. I'm working hard. If I want to give them money, I can. Well, they're not treating you right. So she was more mad at him for mistreating me than she was mad at me helping him. But again, she just felt like I was, because again, now, did that person ever do anything for you, Brother Block? And the answer to that is no. I don't know that they ever did anything for anybody. He actually had that missionary handshake. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, that was how he acted. Don't be like that. Again, borrowing all the time, always asking for stuff can make you lose a friend. A third thing, how to make or get friends. How to make or get friends. Notice in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Again, this is not something that most of us will have. And again, this is not the best way to get friends. But he mentions it's in the Bible, so I got to give it to you. The poor, verse chapter 14, verse 20 says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Proverbs 19:4 says, Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. So again, wealth sometimes makes friends. Now, I can tell you that, again, those are not the best kind of friends to have. Friends that only love you, only care about you because you have money, are not the best friends to have. But again, that is, when I was a kid in school, we had a young lady that her dad, she didn't have very many friends. She wasn't all outgoing, but her dad had a gas station. So when she didn't have any friends, she would take stuff off his shelf, candy and bubble gum off his shelf, bring it to school. All the kids would gather around her. She'd give out stuff. And was so happy for a few minutes because everybody was around her. Then as soon as they got the candy, they were gone. Listen to me. She had friends for a moment while she had something to give them, but they didn't hang around with her other than when she had stuff to give out. Be careful, again. But again, one of the ways to get friends is to do stuff for people. Now, notice Proverbs chapter 19. Brother Nicholas has mentioned this. One of the ways to heal a problem with somebody is to give them a gift or to do something for them. Notice 19:6 says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. What he says is, do stuff for people. Now, again, as I said, it may be lend an ear, it may be lend a hand, it may be give someone a ride, it may be help someone out. I mean, again, many times it's not a matter of financial. There are a lot of folks that don't need money. They just need someone to help them out with something else. But again, he mentions if you give gifts, if you do stuff for people. Notice the next one, and this is the easiest way, by the way, to get friends, is to be friendly. Notice Proverbs 18, the verse we always quote when we talk about this. The Bible says in chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, the best way to get friends is to be friendly. Now, there are folks that get mad at Liberty Baptist Church, and I've heard some of them say Liberty Baptist Church. Every once in a while we'll have someone that says Liberty Baptist Church is not very friendly. And I'm thinking, huh? But here's the problem. They showed up late to church. I'm not fussing if you came in late tonight, Brother Bichot, but if you showed up late tonight, and then during the invitation, you slip out, we didn't have a chance to shake your hand. What do you want us to do? Get up while Brother Nicholas is preaching and walk over and shake your hand? I can tell you that is not going to happen, okay? I am not that brave nor that stupid to get up while Brother Nicholas is, someone else might do that, but not this guy. So if you show up late and then you slip, you run out. I mean, some people almost like they have a fire in the building. They hit the door and, the doors flap open and they're gone. There's been times after church I went and tried to catch visitors and it's almost like I had to run down the block to catch them because I wanted to say, good to have you today. Yeah. Now, by the way, when they say we're not very friendly, that's on them. Now, by the way, if they are hanging around and no one's talking to them and they're here to be friends and no one's friendly to them, that's on us. Yeah. Now, one of the things that my kids and I did years ago was we raised hedgehogs. How many of you know what a hedgehog is? We raised hedgehogs. I'm just going to take a little trip. I just want to see if the folks in the fellowship hall are paying attention, listening, if they're playing games. So we was raising hedgehogs. You'll still be able to hear me. You just won't be able to see all this. So we was raising hedgehogs. Hi, Nico. We was raising hedgehogs, and when we was raising those hedgehogs, hey, guys.
Hi. Hey.
All right. They're actually behaving, so nothing to see there. We was raising hedgehogs. Now, when we raised those hedgehogs, some of them were really, really friendly. Some of them were not. Now, the thing about hedgehogs is, if you reach down to touch a hedgehog and it's not friendly, you know what it does? It puts those little spines up. And they hurt because their needle's sharp. So we had some that we would have liked to pet, but we couldn't pet them because they wouldn't let us. I mean, we tried. I mean, sometimes we'd have to reach underneath them, and we'd put them in shavings. We'd reach underneath the shavings, get our hands underneath them, raise them up. And if we talked to them and started slowly, they'd put them up, and slowly they'd bring them down, and then we could pet them. We had some that we could pet. They never poked their spines up. I mean, they were always very, very friendly. And by the way, the ones that was like that, we petted a lot more. They were a lot more enjoyable. So if you want people to be friendly, stop being a porcupine. Stop being like that. Stop poking folks, all right? Stop being a hedgehog. Notice there in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 22, another way to make friends is to speak with grace. Speak with grace. Proverbs 22:11 makes this statement. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So again, for the grace of his lips. Now, when you think of grace, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor. So again, when we're going to have grace, it means that we will say what is spiritual, wholesome, kind, sensitive, complimentary, gentle, truthful, loving, thoughtful. Years ago, my wife, and she struggled with her weight quite a bit. One time she came to church. Now, this was years after, our babies were not babies anymore. Our babies were grown. And someone came up to my wife and said,
Are you pregnant? Now, I can tell you, that did not make my wife feel good. When my wife came home, I said, what's wrong? She said, someone asked me today if I was pregnant. And then, now, that's why you say, Brother Walk, if you think someone's pregnant, do you ask them? No, I wait to make sure they're pregnant before I ask them, okay? Now, real pregnant, if you've really seen pregnant, you can tell pregnant from just, you know, a little belly. See, I am not pregnant, okay? I do not have that pregnant. This is not pregnant. This is belly, okay? Pregnant is more like this, okay? Mine is more like that. So, I mean, but again, she was sad. Now, the person didn't mean anything by it. They weren't trying to be mean. Now, sometimes kids are honest with Brother Block. My grandkids are. Last time I saw my grandkids, they said, Grandpa, you're fat. I said, thank you, baby. I mean, I appreciate that. And I really didn't. I was just being nice. I wish you hadn't said that. You said, but Block, what if it's true? It may be true. It still doesn't make me feel any better. For her to say, you're a lot more man than you used to be, that would be so much nicer, would it not? See, that's called sensitive, okay? So again, you want to make sure you speak with grace. He tells us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Then the last thing, and I'll be done, dangers concerning friendships. One of them is something to be aware of, and the other is something to be careful of. Notice in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Now listen to me. You don't want to hang out with someone who has a terrible temper. I mean, if they're working on it and they're trying to do better, then that's one thing. But there are some folks that are mean and like being mean. They do. They're kind of proud. They kind of brag about the fact that they're mean to people or they mistreat people. You say, why shouldn't I do that? Well, notice Proverbs chapter 22, the very next verse. Here's why he told you not to hang out with those folks. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. He said, you know what happened? You better be careful. You're going to become like him. They'll rub off on you. That's why that verse we quote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, where it says, what's it say? About evil communications, corrupting good manners. You had good manners, and you know what happened? You hung out with some folks who didn't, and you lost the ones you had. So that's why I said, don't hang out with folks that don't have good manners, and don't have the right kind of actions and attitude, because they'll rub off on you. And then notice Proverbs 27:10, and I'll be done. Beware of breaking some friendships. Now, this is something Brother Nicholas has taught on before, or at least mentioned before. Proverbs 27:10 says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Now, notice what he said, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. I've heard him say before, even to me, and I've heard him say from the pulpit, there are times that I am this person's friend because of the fact that this, and again, he was the friend to the son because the father had been a friend to him. So he was actually, now the son had not tried to make any friendship, but Brother Nicholas was kind to the son because of the fact that he was friends with the father. And he wanted to make, again, he felt like he owed that to that son. There, again, so he says there's a friendship to be aware of. That's that angry person. That's that person who has the wrong attitude. Now, by the way, not everybody that even comes to church should be your friend. There are some folks that come to church that lest you do what I talked about earlier, sometimes you don't agree with them. Don't only just follow somebody because they come to church. You know all you have to do to come to church? Walk through those doors, get in the car, walk through those doors, come inside. That doesn't make you a good Christian. It doesn't. Now, there are a lot of folks that are good Christians when they do that. And again, by the way, it does make you obedient at the very least, because he tells us to come to church. But the truth is, that doesn't make you a good Christian. It's a good step in the right direction. But again, in this case, he says, you know what? Be careful of hanging out with the wrong crowd, because they'll mess you up and they'll rub off on you. And be careful about your friendships that you've had or your family's had. And again, there are folks that were my dad's friends because they knew my father. They did stuff. They allowed me to do stuff. My brothers and I love squirrel hunting. How many of you ever went squirrel hunting? Squirrel hunting's a lot of fun, especially back in Missouri. Now, here in Texas, there's not near as many trees and stuff like we had. So, I mean, sometimes we'd go out, especially on Thanksgiving. That was a big squirrel hunting day. We'd go have Thanksgiving dinner and then go squirrel hunting. We'd get our limit of 6 per person, go in, put them at the house, do something illegal, and go out and get some more. Come back, and it said you could have twice your daily limit. We usually did it in the same day. But we'd go out and we'd get a bunch of squirrels. We'd clean those squirrels. And how many of you ever ate squirrel? Brother Nichols says it's just a rat with a longer tail, with a furry tail. But again, squirrel's pretty good. And when you're poor, squirrels sometimes is what we had to eat. I love squirrel hunting. And listen to me, some of the folks let us hunt because they knew my father. They didn't know me. And by the way, they didn't even know which one of the boys I was. Because there was Cliff Block, that was my older brother. Clint Block, my next older brother. Chris, that was me, and then my brother Chuck. So there's four of us. He simply said, which one of Cecil's boys are you? They didn't know me, but they knew my dad. So because they had a friendship with my dad, I reaped some benefits from that. So he says, one friendship I want you to be careful of, stay away from the angry people. Stay away from the folks who have the wrong attitude and especially have that anger attitude. And he said, you know what? Be careful about the relationships that your family has built through the years. Hang on to those if you can. Friendship. Again, if you have now the Bible tells us there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So if you're wondering if you say, Brother Block, I don't have any friends. Yes, you do. If you're here tonight, you don't think you have any friends. You got one for sure. Now you can make more, but you got one for sure. Because the Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. And again, by the way, he's the best friend to have because he can do stuff that none of your other friends can do. And he can answer. He has answers your other friends. Sometimes you're there when your other friends will be speechless. And he can help you when sometimes your other friends cannot be of any help to you. But again, friendship is something you want to make sure if you have friends or the right kind of friends. If you have a friend and you have a good friendship, make sure that you are contributing to that friendship. We always say this. It's a give and take. That works in a marriage. It works in a friendship as well. They do something for you. You do something for them. They do something for you. You do something for them. Don't make it. They do something for you. They do something for you. That's not how it's supposed to work. Again, right kinds of friends are a good thing. Wrong kinds of friends are the bad thing. Make sure you hang out with the right kind of crowd so you don't end off losing those good manners that you had, the manners, the godliness that your parents raised you up or that your church has taught you, that you don't lose those from hanging out with the wrong crowd. Hang out with the right crowd. Lord, love you. Thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize